Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Friday. Today is March 13th, 2015. I'm Michelle Boucher, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice and Dr. Tim Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show and thank you for choosing to be with us. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 and that puts you into queue to talk with our host. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. So now let's welcome our host in the process of learning and experiencing Aramaic forgiveness.
Well, thank you, Michelle. As far as I know, Michael will not be with us today. They're in the process of getting ready for Jeannie's intensive tonight and handling last-minute details. So I will just start with a little... Whenever you say that intro and you say, strengthening and deepening your process... Excuse me, it makes me think of explaining that process. And the process...
Wait, Tim, did you say it makes you think something?
Perhaps I did. It resonates the brain cells in me that we should explain the idea of the process. And the idea of the process is manyfold. When we talk about the process I think you're referring to in the intro, it's the idea of the process of forgiveness, which is going inside myself and removing whatever doesn't belong there that might be angry, fearful, negative in any way, tight, tense. Some would call it the ego-driven thought process. And we're taught that in this culture, the word forgive means to let somebody else off the hook. To, you know, forgiveness really, in the way I was taught in this culture, is a two-step process. First, I decide somebody outside me did something horribly wrong, and they should be punished for it. And the next step is I agree to be bigger than them and forgive them for it. And in the ancient Aramaic, the process of forgiveness had nothing to do with any of that. It had to do with the understanding that the only way I can feel anything inside of me is if I create it, because I am the creator of my experience in life. And so when I feel something less than love, when I'm feeling an upset, a pain, a fear, a condemnation, forgiveness is the tool that I can use to reach inside myself and dismantle, cancel, and remove whatever is unlike my true nature, that's a false perception. And that's the process of forgiveness. That's one of the primary tools that Dr. Rice and Jeannie make available on the website at www.whyagain.org. And if you go to that website, the wealth of tools that's available without even having to sign up to a mailing list is amazing. And if you click on the red and white bullseye, it'll take you to a page where you can download chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? and other locations on the website, you can download the entire book and read it. You can also download the 7-step worksheet process, the most recent version of it, which will give you a step-by-step process for identifying first how your mind is deceiving you into thinking someone or something outside of you is causing your pain, and secondly, removing the actual cause of that pain, which lies within you, lies within your energy system, lies within your memories, your belief system, your bodies and energetic crystals, and it lies in the energetic impressions that you received from both sides of your bloodline, what I call energenetics. It's both the energy patterns and the genetics that I got from both sides of my bloodline. And I just want to reiterate, that's absolutely free, and it's just one of many tools that are on that page. So you can print off the worksheet process, and then you can click on another link that'll take you to, Michael says, at least 12 different audio files, which are recordings of shows like this, where Michael has stepped somebody through that very process. People who called in with real problems, real angers, real fears, real grudges that they've been holding against others for many years. And by applying the tool of forgiveness, they've literally transformed their experience, their feeling state, their body energy, their pains, their aches. And that's available for free. The other way we use the word process in this work is to talk about the practice of holding the space of love conscious, active, and present in my mind when something unlike love comes up. And I can process someone else by holding the space of love conscious, active, and present in my mind when someone is in my immediate vicinity, and they're feeling less than love, if they're feeling anger or fear or sadness. And I can see their true nature. I can see through the false perceptions that they're creating that leave them resonating with fears that are less than love. And if I hold that space of love when they're in their pain, when they're in their fear, that's called processing them. If I hold that space of love while they're applying the tool of forgiveness to remove their own pain, that's called processing. And it's not a natural thing to do for most people who were raised in this culture, because we were taught to either attack people when they're angry or run from them when they're angry because we're afraid of their anger. So it takes some practice, it takes some awareness, and it takes the tools to be able to move from that space of fear or anger or hurt to that space of conscious awareness of our true nature as love, and then hold that awareness through the entire interaction with somebody who's not feeling themselves as love. But it's far easier to do that with someone else than it is to do it with myself. So if I get triggered to anger or fear or upset, that resonant energy seems to be the strongest in my field. And the goal of the work is to practice holding the space of love conscious, active, and present when I'm not triggered, and strengthening my awareness of my true nature, getting to the point where I'm reminding myself on a regular basis about how love is all there is. Love is the energy that we live, move, and have our being in. And I can get better at doing that by holding the space of love when somebody else is triggered. And I can get better at doing that by practicing things like a love exchange. I can stand in front of the mirror and think the most loving thoughts I have in my memory, and then open my eyes and send that love out my eyes to my image in the mirror. I can do love exchanges like that with other people. And this creates what in the sports field they call muscle memory. And this creates the strength of habit and builds a strength and momentum. So it gets easier and easier for me to tap into that awareness of the nature of love, my nature is love, your nature is love, the nature of the world as being that energy of creation, which some have called love. And ultimately, the goal is that I can learn to switch into that energy of love, my focus of my own energy into my true nature as love, soon after I get triggered to something less than love. And in that way, I can be processing myself. Because the healing that happens through the process of forgiveness is not done with chanting, it's not done with voodoo, it's not done with magic, it's not done with ritual. It's done when it's done automatically. It's an automatic process that happens when the conscious, active focus on the presence of love is held in place at the same time that something unlike love comes up. The power of love itself transmutes everything around it. And what we're here to help people realize is that each and every human being has been given the gift of the ability to generate, to create, to initiate mind energy, which is a creative force. And that mind energy that I generate, that I initiate, works within this experience of life that we have, works within these energy fields to be a creative force. And it literally can become matter if it's held in mind, if it's held in intention, if the energies resonated to it bring more and more of similar energies to them. And in this way, I'm literally creating my experience in each moment by what I choose to focus my conscious awareness upon. Because my conscious awareness is that process of initiating mind energy. And Michael likes to talk about how from the ancient Aramaic, the words from the Bible in John 1 that say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh." The ancient Aramaic says something a lot more like, "In the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh." Mind energy is a creative force, and our scientists who are working in quantum fields and who are working at different levels of experimentation are just beginning to demonstrate how true that is, and that physical, what we call the physical world, is absolutely subject to the influence of mind energy, to the creative force of human thought. And our goal is to rewrite the old conditioning that says I'm a victim, to rewrite the old conditioning that says the world is a dangerous place and I need to run and hide in fear. Our goal is to rewrite the old conditioning that says something outside of me has the power to make me feel something inside of me, and move over to direct observation with a new set of questions and a very powerful set of tools that have been known for thousands of years, and apply those observations and then those tools to everything that's less than love, to every pain, every fear, every relationship difficulty, every financial strain, every experience in life that's less than love. Expose it to the awareness of the true nature of love that is everyone and everything, and let the power of love do the transformation. That's what we're here to do and support. That's what we're here to teach and support people, not just learning, but actually practicing. And we're glad you're here. It is a blessing for me to be able to participate in this show, and it's a blessing for me to be able to participate in a support group and share these tools and the experiences with others. And we're here to support people, not just learning these tools, but for any who are willing, we're here to support people in actually creating their own support group. One of my favorite lines from the book Tuesday with Maury, where Maury Schwartz was dying of ALS, and his younger student, was there to help him write his last book. And the book was going to be about how to live well and how to die well. And Maurice said, in response to one of Mitch Albom's questions, Mitch was saying to him, "Maury, I don't know how you do it." He said, "You couldn't hold a tune. You can't stay on key to save your life. And yet you sing as loudly and as strongly as anybody I've ever known. You have no skill on the dance floor, and you look absolutely ridiculous, but you have no fear about getting out there and throwing your body around. And how do you do it?" And people laugh at you, and people tell you, "Oh, don't sing, you're horrible." And you just do it, seemingly without regard for their comments. And Maury said, "Well, Mitch, if you live in a culture that doesn't make you feel good about yourself, you need to create your own culture. And I believe that's part of what the Mindshifter Radio program and Dr. Michael Rice and Jeannie and Michelle and the other team of people who are here to create support groups and create this radio show, I believe that's what we're about, making the tools available for every individual who chooses to create a space where they are focused on their true nature as love all day, every day. And in that process, they make different choices. In that process, I bring other people into my life that are more in resonance with my stated goals. I get to live with a greater frequency of awareness of my true nature as love. And the quality of my life has improved beyond words ever since I picked up these tools and started using them. And that's what we're encouraging everyone to do. So it's a community. It's got tools. It's got momentum behind it. We're glad you're here. Thanks for joining us. And if you have a question or a comment, please call in at 646-200-4169 and press 1. And Michelle will know that you have your hand up. And we'll take your comments and questions, and we'd appreciate the input. So, Michelle, do we have anything going in the chat room or anyone with their hand up in the switchboard?
Yeah. Peace and I are chatting in the chat room. We've got a couple guests and several listeners. Let's go right away to area code 917. They raised their hand right away, and you're now on the air. Who do we have? And
where do you call from? But Joelle
can't wait
to bring the baby over. See you, Uncle.
Well, are you available? I'm gonna put them back on mute for a second, and maybe we try again in a moment. Doesn't sound like they're attending to the phone right now.
All right. Well. So we have a mission, some might say, and we have tools, and we have support groups that meet. And if any of you who are listening have been in a support group recently, and you've either got a question about running a support group or an experience from a support group you'd like to share, that would be something good to bring into the table. We had a support group Tuesday night, and I talked a little bit about it on Wednesday, that it was my second support group in the row where nobody in the group wanted to do a worksheet, so I ended up doing one. And it's, again, beyond what words can describe. For me, the difference between doing a worksheet alone, on my own, and doing one with the loving support of the group around me. And we had a chance to have a support group again last night, and we watched a little over an hour and a half of a lecture by a discussion between Abraham, Esther Hicks and Abraham, and Dr. Wayne Dyer. And again, it just stimulates. There were so many times when the teachings of Abraham, which if you're not aware of it, Abraham is a collective consciousness that gets, some might say, channeled through the woman named Esther Hicks. And there are just so many times when the phrases, the words, the teachings are exactly in alignment with what Dr. Michael Rice teaches, what he talks about in his videos. I think he's got 14 or 15 video lectures that we show in our group. And at one point last night we heard things said like, you know, hold a newborn baby, tap into that essence of love and know that that's who you really are. We heard things like, it's all about just moving an energy that's off the mark to one that's in alignment with Source. We heard so many comments that people in the group were turning and looking at each other with surprised faces, that the phrases, the techniques, the understanding of how the system works that was coming out of the entity called Abraham is exactly like what we talk about on this radio show and what's available in Dr. Michael Rice's lectures, which range from the original lecture, Why Is This Happening to Me Again?, which is the title of his book, which outlines the 12 or 7-step process, depending upon which worksheet you're talking about, that helps people understand what true Aramaic forgiveness is about and how to do it, to lectures titled Healing Through Relationships. And he explains how he used to title that lecture Healing Your Relationships until he had the insight that there is no such thing as a broken, damaged relationship, that a relationship is there to help me resonate everything that's less than love in me that I wouldn't normally get at on my own, so it comes into my awareness so I can hold the space of love in the presence of it and transmute it, to integrate it, to move to a whole different level of healing than I can if I go off and live on my own in a mountain cave. Another title, lecture title Dr. Rice has available on his website is Codependence to Interdependence. And in this he has some of the more powerful integrations of the first two lectures from Healing Through Relationships and Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And he starts talking about the dynamics that we develop as we're raised as little children, very, very impressionable. And we're raised by people who have more control over our lives than we do, and those people are not living from their true nature as love. They're living from the anger and fear and hurt conditioning that they had in their life. And there's a pattern or several patterns that develop, and we can become aware of those patterns, and we can increase our awareness. We can learn to look for the signs that we might have fallen into one of those patterns, which then, when it's triggered in me, has me acting in a way that's less than love. And most of the time when that kind of pattern gets triggered in me, I will be able to tell you exactly why it's okay for me to be doing this thing that's less than love, and exactly why I feel justified in doing this thing that's less than love. And it's so solid in my experience, and my belief in that set of thoughts is so strong that unless I have a way to step back and question it from a different perspective, it just runs my life as long as I'm triggered. And I've had a couple people in the past week who have run into this, and because they've been exposed to it, they've actually begun to see, oh, I'm acting a lot like my mom whenever she would get triggered. Oh, I'm acting a lot like my dad when he would get triggered. And you know what? I really never liked it when they did that. And so now if I step back, even though I can have a rational set of rationalizations, a set of excuses for doing it, I really don't like how it feels when I do that either. If I'm in that space, I've opened the door for questioning. I've opened the door to shift my focus of awareness over to that energy of love and to begin to hold the process for myself. That's what this work is about, creating some questions. And fortunately for us, Dr. Rice has spent years integrating materials from a lot of different sources and working with other people to create tools which are, in my experience over the past 40 years of doing therapy, the most efficient, effective tools for removing energy that's not wanted, for removing pain, physical pain, emotional pain, sadness, constriction, self-doubt, self-loathing. These are some of the best tools I've ever run across. And the open invitation is, try them out. Or, if this whole conversation sounds silly and so new that it, or too good to be true, give us a call at 646-200-4169. Press 1. Michelle will see that your hand is up, and we'll try to entertain your questions. So, Michelle, anything in the chat room or anybody with a hand up?
No, not right now. Susan was on earlier, but she must have had something come up because she dropped off, and I asked her to come on back, but so far not yet.
Okay, well, do you have any questions or things you'd like me to chat on a little bit while we're waiting for somebody to get the courage up to raise their hand?
Well, funny you should ask. So I was thinking about that opportunity today with you, and I've been gone probably 18 days out of the last 3 weeks, so... And I'm just coming home and kind of reintegrating into my clients and my family. And tomorrow I'm scheduled to meet with my mom for the first time in the 9 years. And I've been so busy, I haven't really had much time to dwell on it. But now that we're probably here coming up in the next 24 hours, it's occurred to me what that's going to look like, instead of kind of picturing and how I'm going to, I don't know, hold the space. I guess that's what I want to ask you about, because I am going to invite Rupa Dikucha to engage my filters of Rachma and Kuba, and it's like as far as I got, and part of me is like, Michelle, if you can do that and keep resetting the whole entire time you're there, then whatever is going to happen is going to be great. But there's this other part of me who's like, no, it's not enough. You need to, you know, have a plan. You need to kind of figure out. And you know, so intellectually I know it's best to stay in the now moment and just keep reengaging my filters. But then there's this other part of me that is emotionally just on shaky ground. And my fear is that I will, you know, default to a fear or hostility way of being.
Okay,
and
so
this is the opportunity.
Let me ask you a question. Over the past 9 years, have you had any thoughts about what's going on between you and your mom? Have you had any thoughts about trying to figure it out or sorting out who's to blame and who's right and who's wrong? Have you ever spent any time doing that in the past 9 years?
Sure.
Has it yielded a solution?
No.
All right. So as Michael frequently talks about on the show, whenever somebody says the phrase, I'm trying to figure it out, that is a trap. That's a trap from the ego mind, from the non-being mind. You know, he talks about how we have spiritual faculties and the egoic mind has cheap copies of the spiritual faculties. So trying to figure it out is a cheap copy of intuition. It's a cheap copy of this deep knowing of perception. true perception. So I would offer that your intelligence, which has led you to get a college degree and then a master's and learn how to navigate through the world so you can be away from your family and be away from your practice and travel to different parts of the country, and that's a wonderful tool in the physical world, but it is not intended to have any part in your loving world, your relationship world, your emotional world. So if you need a little intellectual stimulation to help you have a reason to try and release the hold on the intellectual, you can tap into someone like Einstein, who says, "We've been given a precious gift in the intuitive mind and a faithful servant in the logical mind. And we're living in a culture which has forgotten the gift and elevated the servant to the level of master." So, I would echo what you were saying or almost intimating in the beginning, which is, it is absolutely not just enough, it is all there is to hold Rachma and Kuba, to ask for guidance, to hold your mom in the space of love. That's not just enough, that's all. That's all there is. And then, when I go into a situation like that, I gear myself up to observe more of what's going on in me. I start in the morning, most mornings, and say to myself, to my guides, to spirit, to Ruka, whoever, help me watch myself and catch the very early warning signs of any upset that might get triggered in me today. And when that happens, help me use the interior focus. Help me interrupt the conditioning that has me chasing after people and things outside of me, believing that they are what's causing my upset. So I begin mornings like that on a regular basis, and if I were going to be meeting someone that I hadn't had any contact with in a long time, was a primary relationship in my life, I would spend even more time on that morning focusing on love. And I would put out of my mind and watch the trap I would probably be falling into on a regular basis of trying to think through how is this going to go, and simply call a time out for myself, take a breath, get myself centered, reset Rachma and Kuba, and release all of the sense of a need to think it through. That would be a primary tool that I used. I had a situation where I was down at Heartland, blessedly. I went through a divorce I did not want. And this was maybe 6 years after the divorce. And my ex-wife's side of the family, even though I had reached out to every one of them, not one had responded in the 6 years. Not a phone call, not an email, not a chance meeting. And so that's just the way that side of the family handled things. And I happened to be down at Heartland when we were scheduled to go into a breath session on the last day. And the night before, I got a text message from my son that his adult uncle, my ex-wife's uncle, so it would be my son's great uncle, had died. And as I went to sleep that night, I was wrestling with all of these ideas about, should I go to the funeral to support my sons, or should I just stay away because none of those people clearly want to see me? They haven't had any contact with me in 6 or 7 years. And I woke up in the morning and I still was unclear as to what to do. I had a strong desire to be there for my sons, and yet every time I thought about going to meeting this entire side of the family who, you know, basically just cut me off completely, I was feeling a lot of upset. So I went into the breath session and had a very, very intense intense session where I don't remember much of it, but I woke up in a puddle of tears. I don't remember sobbing and crying, but my eyes were, you know, pushing out a lot of water. And then I just had the knowing when I got up from the breath session that I had to do what was right for me and my sons, which is just show up and support my sons at the funeral for their uncle. And I drove all the 12 hours home, and the next morning I got up bright and early and put on a suit and tie and showed up. And I was there for my sons, and it went beautifully, and I just kept holding the space of love. I didn't, as I was driving, I just thought, I'm only doing this for the love of my sons. And whatever anybody says is going to be fine. If they ask me to leave, that will be okay. Even if all I get to do is show up and my sons get to see that I made the effort, that will be enough. And I just kept focusing on resetting the filters in my mind over intention to Rachma, and the filter in my mind over perception to Kuba. And I just kept asking for guidance. And every time an old memory of, well, but this was said, and that came into my mind, I just breathed and said the words, I let it go. And I reset Rachma and Kuba. That's what I would offer, especially in a situation like you're going into tomorrow. There is so much in your files and your file folders of your mind about who's right, who's wrong, past traumas, that the only thing I know that's ever helped me get through situations like that is the focus on my true nature as love and the connectedness of all things and the absolute true nature of the other person I'm dealing with as love. I keep remembering Michael, the first time I heard Michael talk about the ancient Aramaic definition for humility has nothing to do with groveling in the dirt. It has to do with my ability to look for and see the highest and best in another person. And then regardless of what they're putting out in terms of words or behaviors, to cooperate only with that highest and best. And the number of times in my life since I heard Michael talk about that, that has served me well, goes beyond my counting. So I can be in the presence of somebody who's raging in anger, and I can look at them and see I'm them. They're me. If they're in anger, that means they're in pain or fear. And rather than respond to their anger, if I respond to the pain or fear underneath it, I get a whole different response. If I respond with compassion, I get a whole different response in the feedback loop from them. It doesn't always go picture perfect and pretty, but it always goes differently than it did in the past when I responded from anger or fear. So I just keep picking up on your saying that it doesn't seem like enough, and I just want to say, not only is it enough, it's really all there is. It's really all that's true in our lives, and everything that's less than that is a false creation of the ego mind, of the fear-driven mind. And I'd be happy to support you in choosing the loving thoughts and energies and releasing everything less than that. And create some images for yourself about releasing. You know, in the faster EFT tapping that you've had the training, you know, you've heard things like, see a tree in front of you and pull the roots out from under it. Now what happens to the tree? You know, see yourself holding these six large helium-filled balloons and you're holding the strings. And you're trying to hold it down, your arm's getting tired holding it down. Well, just open your hand and let the strings fly through it. What happens? Create some images like that. This would be what I would be doing. And try to mentally connect those to what process gets triggered when I get triggered to an anger or a fear. And have that be my response rather than tension, holding on, being defensive. That would be my offering.
That works for me. That's spot on. Last summer when I was at Heartland, that idea of love is enough really was showing up in a lot of different in areas, and I actually integrated it and was practicing. And so when you're saying it today, like, it's almost like a new thing to me. And what I'm realizing, because this is a higher stress situation, even though it's still out here another day, that my ability to, use that as far as holding the concept in my mind as I'm navigating this was elusive. And then thank you for bringing it back to me, because and all I can think is because it's a higher stress situation, and then that's where all the work comes in to create a foundation so that when it is a higher stress situation, your new personal code, your new default is that being of love instead of fear or hostility. Because even some of the things you're saying as far as being able to look at her saying, I'm them, they're me, and holding her with the humility that she is, seeing her in her highest and best, like 2 years ago or so, I would have been like, what? Not even, not possible. And
Let me just break in here, because something got triggered for me when you talked about a higher stress situation. And earlier, without naming it, I was talking about the power person dynamic. And the power person dynamic says that whenever I'm in a ultra high stress situation, I will begin doing exactly the behavior I hated most that my power person did when they were triggered. And so this would be another thing that I would put in your alarm system for tomorrow. And recognize how you might have that energy resonated in you tomorrow. And if you do, if I were in that situation, I would want my alarm set preset to go off to warn me that I've dropped into that behavior and those energies have been triggered, and have a default reset of resetting Rachman Kuba coming to mind. One other quick thing. I had a gentleman come in, and he had an adult daughter who had a serious anger problem. And one night he was trying to get to sleep early because he works early, and he was in bed at 9, and at about, you know, quarter to 10 or 10 o'clock, he was awakened. His bedroom door was locked, and his adult daughter, strong, large, powerful woman, was banging on his door screaming in anger. And he tried to tell her, we'll deal with it in the morning, whatever, let it go, I need some sleep. She kept at it for an extended period of time, and he eventually got up in a rage, threw the door open, pushed past her, went into the kitchen to try and find whatever she said she couldn't find, however this worked. And it was a nasty mess that resulted in the police being called, and just a horrible mess. And I had him in my office, and I was trying to explain all of these concepts about how anytime anybody uses anger, it's a drug they're using to numb themselves out from their pain and fear. You know, the adrenaline response that keeps me from letting an attacker punch me or hit me has nothing to do with thought. It's the fight or flight response that gets triggered. It gets acted out and released. But my negative thoughts about how dare that person come at me with their fist raised, or how dare that person take a swing at me yesterday, or how dare that person beat me up when I was 14 years old, all of that is just thought energy that I'm practicing. It's all false. And if somebody comes at me in anger, all it means is they're in pain or fear, and they're using this anger to numb them out from or avoid facing their own internal pain and fear. He said, yeah, that's very nice. And I said, okay, let me ask it to you this way. Let's assume that next week you go to bed early at 9 because you have to get up early, and you're drifting in and out of sleep, or you're asleep, and all of a sudden at 9:45, you're awakened by the sounds of your daughter lying on the floor outside your bedroom, moaning and crying in pain. I said, is there any way you would respond to that by throwing the door open and screaming at her, how dare she ruin your sleep and wake you up? He almost came out of his chair at me. I love my daughter. I said, good. Now let's back up. If she's standing outside your door and she's in anger, and we understand that means that she's in pain or fear, if you can hold that in your mind the next time she comes at you in anger, how different might your response be? It took multiple repetitions for him to make the connection, but he finally said, I think I understand. So if there's any way that you can imagine in these scenarios which you're trying to clear from your mind, that your mother might be triggered to say something hurtful, something insulting, something angry, if you can hold your observation about how we as human beings actually work, and that anger does not come out of a human being unless there's already pain or fear inside that person, and the pain or fear inside a person and the anger that comes out of a person only tells me about that person. It doesn't tell me anything about the person they're spewing it on. That might help you hold the space of love. That might help you extend compassion to your mother. If you have ever in your life blasted someone with anger, and you can tap into a time when you remember that you blasted someone with anger and they didn't deserve it, and you can dismantle your negative judgments against yourself for that action, it will allow you to hold compassion for your mother if that should happen tomorrow.
Well, I agree. I feel like I've been training for 21 months for this moment. So I'm hopeful that it's going to go well, and it's an opportunity to, you know, I have nothing to lose, so to speak.
Well, I would encourage you to replace the thought, I'm hopeful it'll go well, with the thought, I know it will go well, even if it doesn't go as my mind tells me it should. That there is there is a power, there is a presence, there is something that drives all of the synchronicity and all the loving expression. And there is a way for me to use everything that happens in my life as either the observation of love and extending love or the call for help and healing. And I hold for you that that will be your awareness of the events leading up to and through and beyond tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim. I definitely appreciate it. And when you talk about synchronicity, we don't have any hands up still. They're allowing me the space to have your wisdom one-on-one, so I appreciate that. But we have 10 minutes. There's a caller out there who wants to come on the situation or ask a question. We certainly would love to hear from you today.
Well, and if there's any of that that's difficult, you might just, you know, remember that step in the worksheet process where it's asking you to, in 6C, to identify a time in your life when you have violated the very goal you're holding for this other person.
Mm-hmm.
And often for me, when I do that step in the worksheet, it reveals to me a list of other worksheets that I need to do if I am indeed still holding any negative beliefs or energies about myself for things I have done or failed to do in the past. So, just a quick thought. 646-200-4169. If you don't have anything else, Michelle,
I'm fine.
We could breathe and just hold the space for you for the next 10 minutes, or we can entertain a question.
On the breathing, while we're waiting for somebody, because someone flashed, they pressed one and then they disconnected. I don't know what that was about. Actually, I was thinking of doing a breath session for myself tonight before I go to bed and clear and try. Oh, here we go. 417. I think it's Julie Haverstick.
Hi, who's
Hello?
On here? Hi, how are you?
This is Judy Thielen.
Oh, Judy. Oh, the other. Sorry, I saw the Heartland number. I'm mistaken. How are you, Miss Judy?
I'm doing really well. I'm just calling in to support you and the wonderful creation that you're giving your mother and your relationship, and for your courage to go into that, and for all the work that you have done. I just want you to know that I'm there for you, and I'm holding a space of love for you there, Michelle.
Thank you, Judy. You have been very helpful. I can remember long hours of worksheets at the picnic table with you on this direct topic, and buckets of tears, and your gentle, loving way with me and helping me to heal that pain. And I certainly appreciate it, and happy to have you share in hopefully a breakthrough here.
I also thank you for what you have done to help with mine and my daughter's relationship, because I've been able to do quite a few worksheets around her, and we're getting ready to probably face each other at a wedding when my grandson gets married. So, and I'm still got a ways to go, but I'm going to keep on trucking on, and thank you for your good example and your encouragement, and I'll leave it at that.
Well, so Judy, if you in the archives, as far as Friday the 13th, I think it's an easy one to remember. I know I'm going to listen to this broadcast again, and so as you get closer to that wedding, I would say maybe pull up the archives and listen to the show. And in terms of everything that Dr. Tim shared with us today, is completely applicable to going into a wedding situation with the relatives.
All right, good deal. I will keep that in mind. Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. It's true. This is a good show, Tim, to go back and it's like a reset. Oh, that's right. I'm supposed to hold back my Cuba.
Yeah, and there's a diagram on the website for those of us who don't know what Rachman Cuba are about. It's from the ancient Aramaic. These are two words that relate to concepts that the Greeks had no knowledge of and really didn't have any way to discuss. And I've heard Michael say that these are just two of as many as 17 different words that the Greeks didn't know how to understand, and so they lumped them all into the word love. And it doesn't mean that the ancient Aramaics had 17 different words for love. It means they had 17 different concepts that the Greeks could not understand. And because there was any aspect of kindness or love or loving intentions involved in these concepts, they just got lumped into the one word, love. And the word rachma is the word for a filter in my mind over my intentions, over the frontal lobes of my mind. And when that filter can be set to hostility, and if it's set to hostility, I will see the world as irritating. When it's set to fear, I will see the world as a dangerous place. And when it is set to rachma, I will see the world through intentions keyed to love. When Rachma is set over the frontal lobes of my mind, it allows only intentions keyed to love to be used as the building blocks of my goals. And further in the work, we understand that I only ever do any behavior when I first have a goal. So if I have Rachma set in my mind, it really helps to govern my behavior as well as my intentions. And the second word is Kubha, and Kubha is a word for a filter in the mind over the back of my mind over perception. And it allows me to only perceive accurately, lovingly. So if that filter in the back of my mind is set to fear, I see the world as a dangerous place. If it's set to irritation or hostility, I see the world as an irritating place. And if it's set to Kubha, I see only the true loving nature of the energy of creation in everyone and everything. In the ancient Aramaic, they talked about, or in the Bible passages, they talk about perfect love casts out fear. And Michael frequently talks about how Yeshua, the master teacher who most people know as Jesus, Yeshua talked about fear as a demon to be cast out. And unfortunately, a lot of people have used fear as a tool to get people to do what they want them to do or to join their club. But the master teacher himself talked about fear as a human creation and a fear as something to be cast out. And one of the phrases in the Bible was, perfect love casts out fear. And in the ancient Aramaic, the language translated directly from Aramaic into English provides us an understanding a lot more like, if I have Rachma, the filter over intentions in my mind set to Rachma, and the filter over perception in my mind set to Kubha, that is the condition of perfect love. That means all I can intend and all I can perceive is the accurate nature of life and love and energy. And there is no possibility for fear to enter the mind when Rachma and Kubha are set. And since we've been raised and conditioned in a culture that is so driven by focusing on the external things, giving away our power, creating and talking about victims and perpetrators, and we have been conditioned to hold the view of the world as fearful, as dangerous, as irritating. I may only get a moment's reprieve when I say the words, I set Rachma and Kubha. And that's all it takes, since the power of my mind, as we talked about in the beginning of the show, is a creative force. All it takes for me to set Rachma and Kubha is for me to say, I choose to set Rachma and Kubha. All it takes for me to get a little extra oomph on it is to say, I ask to be shown how to set Rachma and Kubha. And in the moment, I will get a temporary relief. When I first begin this process, I may need to repeat that 30 or 40 times a minute, 30 or 40 times a minute before it actually begins to hold its own momentum and stick around for more than a flashing moment. But that's our offering. Michelle, I will be holding a space of love for you throughout the weekend, hoping that you are able to see how perfect it all unfolds, even if it doesn't go the way your mind thinks it should. And that's all the time we have for today. Please come back and join us all next week. And bring a friend. And in the meantime, have the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.